You're listening to the Afternoon News with Tom Young. Heard weekdays from noon till 4 on News 88.9. Now here's Tom.
Don Chapman joins me on the phone. Donald, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing, Tom?
How are you?
Just fine.
I hesitate to ask this question, but I absolutely must. You're in Phoenix right now. I can only guess what the temperature might be. What is it?
You know, it's supposed to be up in the 80s today, so I would say that, about 28 degrees.
Oh.
Not a bad day.
No. Yeah, it's about minus 8 here. Listen, how did you manage to get embroiled in this controversy or brouhaha?
You mean this is with the third-party advertising?
Yeah, absolutely, that's what it's with. It's a big story in the Ottawa Citizen.
If I told you all the little behind-the-scenes things I've been involved with, it would be shocking. What's fascinating when you're going to Ottawa as a private individual is that you make friends with all these parliamentarians, and they take you out to the restaurants, and you become friends with a lot of people, but they open their mouths a lot, and they start telling you, hey, did you know what so-and-so is doing? So you're kind of getting a backseat view of everything that's going on in Ottawa, even to the point where I've had bureaucrats come up to me and say, did you know that this is what's happening in our meetings with the citizenship minister, Jason Kenney? This is what he's talking about. And so people start whistleblowing to you. It's been fascinating. And one of the areas was dealing with the citizenship of Jack Babcock. I mean, through some negotiations, we got him, the old World War One soldier. Well, the same sort of thing came about when it came to 2005, 2006, in that election period. And now, Tom, remember, I was a lost Canadian.
Yeah.
I had my citizenship taken from me. I did not have the right, despite trying to get into Canada for 40-plus years, I was brought up in the United States because I couldn't get into Canada. They wouldn't allow me. If I had been born outside of Canada, yes, I'd be Canadian, but because I was born there, I wasn't. So I was not as familiar with the Elections Canada process, if you will, on what's legal or illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So just after the election was called back in January of 2006, I had a very top member of the Conservative Party call me. And they said, Don, we can arrange third-party advertising for you. And you don't have to pay for it, but we will go after Paul Martin because it's really quite wrong at what they're doing. And, if Harper gets elected, your problems will cease. With a stroke of a pen, the lost Canadian issue will disappear.
And when he got elected, how'd you do?
We're still fighting.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
And anyway, so, I'm all ears. Okay. What are you proposing here? He said, well, we can get some advertisements, across Canada. So the next thing I know is I'm getting an email from a lady by the name of Colleen Mason from Jerry Shapur and Associates.
Yeah.
Now this is, I don't know who they are. I've never even heard of them before. And in this email it says, Don, here's a copy of an advertisement that will run full page in the National Post. And they sent me two different copies that essentially had the same sort of thing, that 85,000 lost Canadians are being turned away by Paul Martin, and it showed him on his ship with a foreign flag on his ships. And they said, Don, all we want you to do is make sure that everything looks good, and it'll be done.
Yeah.
And, Tom, it just didn't settle with me.
Yeah.
I mean, citizenship really does belong to all Canadians. It doesn't matter what party you are in.
No, and it seems to me it's got to be above politics, too, but that's just coming from somebody on the outside here.
Tom, that's exactly how I feel. And I'm not on the outside. I'm on the inside of this issue. It just kind of didn't settle with me.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm an airline pilot. We're always looking at a contingency plan. If we don't have enough fuel to make it to our destination, maybe we'll have to divert or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you always are thinking, okay, what happens if?
Yeah.
And the if in this situation was, what happens if the Liberals win? Now, I've thoroughly torqued them all off.
Well, sure, you burned your bridges.
That's exactly right. And so, I just couldn't sign off on this ad.
Yeah.
I just couldn't.
Yeah. Well, so, were you going to be in it? Would your name be?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so Don Chapman, the head of the Lost Canadians, says, or whatever.
That's absolute. I think I sent you even a copy of that ad.
Yeah, I got it.
And they quoted me in the ad, which was kind of interesting because I had never talked to Jerry Shapur or Carlene Mason. It just came, this ad, quoting me. And I found it fascinating because I think the quote, by the way, said something like, if Paul Martin, if you won't stand up for Canadians, you don't deserve to be prime minister. Well, I'll make that about anybody who is the leader and head of state of a country, whether that's Stephen Harper or Hosni Mubarak or Muammar Gaddafi. If you won't stand up for the people of your country, you shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And now, this Jerry Shapur, he turns out to be an Alberta lawyer and a lobbyist long involved with the and a former Lost Canadian.
Which again, I had never even heard of the man.
Yeah.
So, which made there... I'll get to this one in a minute because there comes some, you know, to me, there's some questions that immediately pop up on this one. But anyway, I get this email. It's quoting me and fascinating because I had made this quote to a very big operative inside the Conservative Party. So somehow that quote that went to the high echelon Conservative comes back through and is now an email back to me through this law firm.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, life goes on. I didn't know anything about it. Down in the United States, anybody can buy ads. I mean, I don't like their system down here. I think the Canadian is much better. But the reason I brought it up about my growing up down here is I didn't know Election Canada law. I didn't know that there was anything shady about this.
Right.
So now we go through to the passage of Bill C-37, which passed in April of 2008. Shortly thereafter, Doug Finley was called up, and he was not yet a senator. He was called up because he had been campaign manager for Harper and the Conservatives during the 2006 election. And apparently a parliamentary committee was investigating this third-party in-and-out advertising dollars.
Yep.
He packed up everything he had, several of them, and they walked out, and they were in contempt of Parliament. There is no question about it. They were. That's the first time I went, well, that's what they did with me. How could they be denying this? I've got the proof. I saved every email. I have all of this stuff. So anyway, I found it interesting because I was sitting here saying to myself at the time, you know, the only way to get this to go away, since Finley had walked out just before the summer recess, the only way for Harper to get this to kind of die on the vine would be to call an election,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the fall, which I found fascinating because he did call an election and it did die on the vine. And I've often thought, why would Harper have called the election? It didn't change his standing very much in Parliament. It broke a promise that he'd made not to call an election for 5 years, and the only thing I could ever figure was that there was an underlying reason, and that was the Finley stuff and to get it to go off the table so nobody would pay attention to this.
Well, it's back on the table.
Well, guess what? It came back on the table. I truly thought it had died, and when it came back on the table, and I'm watching the news stories saying, well, this was just an administrative error.
Yeah, you're talking about this in-and-out stuff that's going on now and third parties and putting money in and taking money out and transferring and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, administrative error? It can't be an administrative error. I mean, they went to great lengths to write an advertisement and even picking which publication and which size. I mean, it was going to be a full-page ad.
Yeah.
So what I did is I came forward, because I think that one of the biggest problems that I've seen in politics was people like Richard Nixon had just dragged it out, and he was willing to sacrifice anybody down at the bottom so he could stay in office. And you know what? I don't tolerate, I don't like incompetence, and I don't like people that do shady things. I mean, as a voter, as a person to want good government and to want to pass on things to my children so we have a better world in this life, I would like honesty there, and I don't tolerate things that aren't. And so they probably had given this to the wrong guy, because...
What have you heard from anybody politically since this story broke?
Well, to tell you how little interested the media seems to be in anything that I do, I had sent these ads, and I had called the National Post, the Globe and Mail, McLean's Magazine, and I said, you know, I have some proof here, and not one person ever contacted me.
Mm-hmm.
So Glenn McGregor of the Ottawa Citizen got in touch,
yep.
And I even called CBC, by the way. I dialed right into the National desk,
they had no interest. No,
and so anyway, Glenn took the story, and that's about all I have heard.
But I'll tell you something, he's given you about 4.5 pages, and at least 4 pages, so I mean, he's really gone into great lengths to spell it out. Normally, they don't, newspaper people don't go to that great length. I mean, 3 or 4 paragraphs, and that's the end of it.
Well, I obviously have something there. I mean, I have some proof. I should really be called before the parliamentary committee to, you know, and say, tell us your side of this story.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this sounds like the same kind of thing. We're willing to finance third-party ads. All you've got to do is endorse them.
All you got to do is endorse them, and off you go. And that's wrong.
Yeah.
And then there's another couple of questions that I found interesting with Jerry Shapur. Okay, I found out just recently. I didn't know he was a lost Canadian. I've never talked to the man.
No, and he denied it at first, even knowing you.
Okay. If he's a lost Canadian, I find it interesting that he never contacted me,
yep.
The leader of the lost Canadians, never contacted me to say, look, I'm in kind of a predicament here.
He had no recollection of the ads, according to the Ottawa Citizen, and no recollection of Don Chapman.
Well, we had never talked before.
Yeah.
But my name certainly must have crossed his desk.
His
law firm. The second thing I find interesting is that if he... You know, how did he get his citizenship? Was he granted a special favor?
Who knows?
And the second thing is, if he wasn't a citizen at the time of those ads, well, was he in Canada illegally working?
Ooh, well. Mm.
I mean, then the other thing that comes to play that I find absolutely fascinating is that here is their ad. They wrote that 85,000 people were lost Canadians.
Yep.
Well, the number is actually quite accurate. These are only, the 85,000 only refers to children like me who were minor age kids when their parents left Canada. That is the category of the 85,000.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out there are 750 to 1 million lost Canadians out there, but the category they were using were just kids like me.
Yep.
So, here were the conservatives.
Apparently he was one of those kids.
It sounds like he was one of those kids.
Yeah.
But here were the conservatives using the number as fact of 85,000. Then when we get before Parliament, after, you know, several years after Harper has been elected as the Prime Minister, several years later, Dianne Finley in Parliament, in the Hansard, on the record says, no, there are only 450.
Yeah, I know.
Then later, a year ago yesterday, Jason Kenney on the floor of the House of Commons says, no, 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 there are hundreds of thousands. So what is it? I mean, the numbers we all should be agreeing with the numbers. I mean, we know what they are.
Listen, I got about 30 seconds. Are you getting any closer to getting this bloody thing resolved?
No, except you gave me a great suggestion yesterday. With Melinda, I was listening to you. You said, you know, no employer could get away with this, so we're going to get an employer to ask the question, were you born in wedlock or out, and deny Jackie Scott a job based on that question, and then turn that employer into the Human Rights Commission and see what they will do. And
absolutely.
Tom, you and Melinda.
Again, imagine being asked today, were you born out of wedlock when applying for a job?
Right. And we're going to do it. We're going to follow this through, because if Jason Kenney and the government of Canada under Harper can do it, well, let's try it.
Don, we'll talk again.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for doing this as always. Don Bye-bye. Chapman, we'll come back.